Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. And hey, we just want to remind you guys, God is in control, man. No matter what your journey is, we are a show that started off for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage. That was our story, to come around you, hold your hands, and encourage you that Jesus is our rock. He is sufficient. He is the anchor for the soul that holds you firm and secure. And we love every week to just be able to remind you of that message.
That's right. And remind ourselves over and over again, too. Sometimes it's 100%. Think you're here for the audience, but yeah, you definitely get ministered to along the way. Yeah. If you're here this week, I encourage you, if you missed last week, to go back and give last week's show a listen so you can catch up on what we're about to start talking about. We started talking about a wonderful story of what started out with infertility, and I guess infertility is still part of the story, but that foster care and adoption and so many other things involved during that time, and how they actually came together to bring a beautiful family together, and something that wouldn't have happened without infertility, probably. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that it's such a way that God can bring beauty from ashes, mm-hmm. or what we think is ashes.
And the guest of whom you speak.
And the guest.
The woman.
The story that I'm alluding to is Leanna Reeder, a new friend mm-hmm. of mine. And she was so nervous to come on for some reason. And then she sounded like she's done this over and over again.
I mean, I might have practiced in my car a few times.
If you listen to the end of her episode, you're like, she's totally done this before. There's no way that's a new thing.
Nailed it.
But we do suggest for you to go listen to the story from last week and then come back for this episode, because we're going to continue your story.
Last time foster, on.
Yeah. Dum, dum, dum.
Who will she adopt? Three bonus babies.
Three bonus babies, yep. And then we're about to get on to a surprise part of the story, actually.
Yes, surprise. Plot twist. God's good at those.
We ended the last episode talking about your third adoption through foster care, and that God had brought a biological sibling to your baby girl that you had already adopted. And so, start us off back during that time. What happened? What other things were going on during that time?
So in the middle of that, my son Isaac, who we had already adopted, his biological mom passed away. Mm. And just very unexpectedly, she lived in another state. And so we met and had a relationship with other members of his family, but just because of her circumstances, we had not actually met her. Isaac was about 5, and so she passed away, and I just felt God say to me, Leanna, you're going to get up and you're going to speak at her funeral.
Wow. Mm.
And so I wrote out, because I usually write out things that I'm going to speak, so I wrote out almost like a letter to her, like what I would say to her.
Wow.
Where she's standing in front of me.
So you have contact with the family in some way?
Yes, okay. We have contact. There's a few family members that we have a really good relationship with. Okay. And so some of those family members live local here. Mm. And so we got to go to the funeral.
Wow.
Mm. And I brought Isaac. And, of course, he's 5, so he doesn't really understand a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he does understand, you know, that's my birth mom. And we talk about it. There was a lot of questions. And I just told him as much as I thought that he could, you know, mm-hmm. handle. And I got up and I spoke, and I feel like so many times families of women who have maybe given their child up for adoption mm-hmm. or their child has been taken, they look at them as kind of like having a tragic mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And she made a lot of wrong decisions along mm-hmm. the way. She was homeless. There was some, you know, substance abuse and things like that. And I wanted them to know that for all of the bad choices that she made, that she made one really good choice.
Amen.
Because she could have very easily had an abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was homeless. I mean, that nobody would have thought a thing about it. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. She mm-hmm. chose life. And I wanted her family to know that her one good choice changed my life forever. And so I got up with, don't know how I did it, but I did. And I've read what I wanted to say because I knew I couldn't get through it. And I did that for her. And
that's beautiful.
I kept that for Isaac to read later because
so your son got to hear and got to be there too.
And you know, as long as they're young, like their birth parents, I'm going to let them, they're going to be the heroes of this story, you know, them and God. Like, so as they get older, they'll understand more and more of the details of the story. But for right now, you know, like he knows what he understands. Mm-hmm. And so I kept that for him to see later on and for him to fully understand.
Yeah.
But I wanted that for her and for her family. Like I wanted them to know that she mattered.
Wow. Mm. That's huge.
And so, I did that.
Wow.
I thought it was important. And so that was a big part of Isaac's story, you know, in that relationship with his family.
And you have no idea how many people that could have impacted, even that were at the funeral. I was thinking that, right. You know, be in similar situations and choose life because mm-hmm. of seeing how valuable life really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like that's something that a lot of people who don't, maybe aren't part of foster care or something like that, it's hard for them to understand why you would keep that relationship open because like you've now, you know, in a worldly sense, we could look at it as like you being the hero mm-hmm. and you took him out of this bad environment and you mm-hmm. saved him, you know. But actually, we know that, she had to choose life mm-hmm. to make sure he was here. And there wouldn't have been a him without a her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how is it that you were able to open your heart to be able to, you know, because like that can open up for hard discussions and mm-hmm. awkward times and, you know, things like that. But you were willing to have that relationship with his family. What would you say to someone who was like, no, I couldn't do that?
I was thinking of future mm-hmm. Isaac.
Mm.
I didn't want later on for him to say, why did you not talk to them? Where are they? Where, you know, like I wanted to say to him when he was older and he had more detailed questions, you know, I wanted to keep this relationship for you.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted this for you because everybody wants that connection to mm-hmm. where they're from.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, everybody Absolutely. Wants that. And so even though sometimes it's awkward, mm-hmm. even though sometimes it's really hard for me to not judge or to, you know, just put my mama feelings aside sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I want, when they're older, I want to be able to say that I did that for them. And when they're older, however they want to handle that relationship, you know, we can walk through that together.
Right.
But I wanted them to have that option. I didn't want them to not have the option of having a relationship with their birth family just because I didn't want to.
Wow. Yeah, that wasn't something to deal with that. Didn't want to deal with.
Yeah, I didn't want to deal with that. You know, now every situation is different. You know, we don't have a great mm-hmm. relationship with some of our other birth families mm-hmm. just for safety reasons and things. But I think if it's important, if it's possible.
If it's possible.
I like that you said you were thinking of future Isaac. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about your feelings and needs because mm-hmm. parenting is about them, not mm-hmm. us.
That's right.
You know, and so it's so easy to make it about us, especially if you've struggled with infertility and then you finally get a child mm-hmm. and you have all of these unmet expectations, you know, but like your ability to just check that at the door mm-hmm. and say, this isn't about me. Mm-hmm. I am a vessel. God, use me. That's awesome.
We also got to go when he turned 10 two falls ago, we he was born in Chicago. And so we got to go to, we took him by himself to Chicago.
That's cool.
And got, let him see the hospital that he was born in.
Aww.
And like his neighborhood, his aunt showed us around where his mom grew up. And so that was really good for him as well to see, to get to experience. And I'm glad that we got to do that for him.
Instead of it being a shameful thing.
Right, right.
You know, because I say feel, I don't know that for sure, but like I feel like it can look like such a shameful past for our kids that went through foster care because they were a foster kid, you know. There's nothing positive about that our world, you know, talks about. But yeah, these kids did have still beautiful families and beautiful past, and I feel like it's such a important thing to honor that and to let them know, like, hey, but and I love you from where you're from and all the things.
Well, they have a story just as much as we do, you know?
Right. And this is something kind of simple, but like having that relationship open for even health reasons in the future, you know, to be able to go back and say, hey, like, this is going on. Is this part of, you know, your family, you know, that kind of thing, is just something that Will and I have thought about as well with our relationship that we have with Mark's biological family. But yeah, it's just a different thing.
And just something you have to kind of think about differently. And
yeah.
Well, jump us back into your timeline. So we have, we're going back. You have Isaac, you have Emmy, and you have little
Willa Kate.
Willa Kate. And they're how old?
They're like five. That's a lot of math. Three and two, maybe? Maybe five, three and two.
Okay. And the plan was always to have a big family. So what was next?
Okay. So, well, their Willa Kate's adoption or parental rights got appealed. So we're in that process. And we're like, God, what are you doing here? They have told us, you know, it's going to be years. We're like, okay, well, we'll wait it out. You know, we had three children really quickly, back to back to back. And so we're like, we need to figure this out. It was 2020, and it was the summer where the racial tensions in America came to a peak. And we had known when we adopted African-American children that we would deal with some of those things, but we had no idea what Isaac, as an African-American male living in our country, would have to deal with. And that summer brought that to our attention.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, the sisters, they have each other. But Isaac being a male, there's going to be some things that he goes through that just no one can relate, especially being an African-American male being raised by a white family. Like, it's just going to be different. And so my heart, God started placing on my heart, Isaac needs a brother that looks like him, that can go through life with him, that they can have each other. And so I was like, okay, Lord, four kids. and it's funny, like growing up, I'd always said I wanted four kids. And then Matthew grew up in a three-kid household, and he was like two. And I was like, well, we'll see. And then we're like, you know, we got three, four, you know. So I'm like, okay, four kids, God. Like, you've put that on my heart so long ago, you know. Definitely doesn't look like what I thought, but okay. And so we started looking into the different ways that we could expand our family. You know, Willa Kate's adoption was still pending in the courts. And we were just like, I just don't think we can go through another case. Like, when this one is done, we're going to be done. Like, when Willa Kate's...
But because she wasn't finalized, your house was still open.
My house was still open. I was having workers
over. That's an important fact.
Yes, I was, you know, all the things, getting relicensed, all those things. There's no end in sight. So we looked at a few things, and somehow, you know, in the back of my mind, there's still this longing to experience pregnancy.
Sure.
Which
is not a wrong, like,
that's
feeling.
Not a wrong.
And it's just something that every woman, like, you know, when you're in a group of women, they talk about their pregnancy story, you know.
Your body was designed to
and
do that.
And I'm just kind of over there, and it's fine. Like, I don't ever want anybody to feel like they can't tell me any of those things, you know. But I've just always had that desire. And so I started looking into embryo adoption. And had a friend's sister that did it. We talked to him. And so we just...
Break that down for our audience. We've talked about it on the show, but if people are just listening right now, what is embryo adoption?
So embryo adoption is where couples that go through IVF, they create a batch of embryos. And then if they have a baby through that batch, or if they just don't use all of the embryos. Mm-hmm. Those embryos are just kind of frozen. Wow. And so they can decide to donate those, and people can adopt those. And you
and there are currently millions of them frozen. Yes.
And you go through IVF, and they implant the embryo just like they would if it was, you know.
So neither you or your husband would be the genetic parent of that child, but you get to essentially carry it and have all of those experiences and give that child a chance at life.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we found a place in Nashville, and we just, again, God just kind of opened every door.
This is after 2020.
It's after 2020, after, like, Isaac, you know, we feel like he you know, needs a brother. And so we decided we were going to adopt an African-American boy embryo.
Wow.
And so we went through the whole process. I got on the profiles, and it's kind of strange. You're kind of looking at parents and looking at all their likes and these profiles and picking an embryo. And there were so many. And I was like, God, help me decide. And so I got to this profile of this husband and wife, and she had recently passed away. And the embryos had been frozen for 18 years.
Wow.
And so at the bottom, there was a little place where you put notes, and down at the notes, the husband had wrote, "May the will of God be done with these babies." And I was like, sold. That's the one. That's the one. So we picked an African-American boy embryo, and in 2022, in February, I went through the whole process with needles and all the things. Fun. And I'm like a baby. I don't even have my ears pierced. Yeah, I'm a big weenie. I don't do all that, but we did it.
Yeah.
And they implanted a baby. And so we went through the waiting process. So you have to wait so many days, like a pregnancy test. And that day came, and you best believe I was up out of the bed, and I took a pregnancy test, and it was positive.
Your first positive
pregnancy test. My first positive pregnancy test in, I guess that was 10 years Matthew and I had been married, and we were so excited. And so we hadn't told a lot of people because, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen, and definitely hadn't told our kids. And so, like, the few people that knew, they were, like, seeing me at school, like, you know, like, we were trying not to, you know,
get too excited. It's hard to hide it when you have to go away for medical, you know, leave for a little while.
Yeah. And well, and I wanted some people to be praying for us,
for
but, you know. And so I went to the doctor for the blood, for the test, and then I went again.
Because they looked to see that your numbers are, like, doubling over a certain period of time.
And they called me the second time, and they were like, Leanna, your numbers are not doubling. They're going down. They're like, you have had a miscarriage, a chemical pregnancy.
Wow.
And we were devastated. We already had a name for our baby boy, you know. And so Ezra lived for about a few days, and then he was gone.
Well, let me just say how beautiful that you gave him a chance at life.
Well, and
you
know,
and he wasn't left in limbo.
Right, and that's what, you know, it took a while to get over that. Yeah. But I had a really sweet friend who just always looks at things like, just she just helps me look at things from the glass half full, you know.
Yeah.
And she was like, Leanna, he's in heaven with his, like, his birth mom.
Aww.
Like, you did
you
that.
You gave him
yes.
That. Yeah.
Like, he, you know, had a chance at life, and he's in heaven. You know, like, she's just, like, it.
The Bible says all the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. And he didn't get a lot of days.
Right.
But the Lord knew, and every day was precious.
Right. And so I was just like, God, I thought I knew the plan here. And I can just remember him just saying to me, like, Leanna, we've already talked about this. Like, this is not the path I have for you. Like, pregnancy, like, that's just not what I've called you to, you know? And you're going to have to be okay with that. And so those were some dark days, but those were very silent because not everyone knew. And then, you know, we're still waiting on Willa Kate's adoption to go through, so we're still in the middle of that. And then about a week later, we get a phone call about a baby boy.
How do you keep getting babies, too? Like, it's like, everyone says it never happens. Like, it has now happened to you four times.
And I'm like, okay, God, I got you. I got you. You know, like, I knew there was a brother. I knew there was a baby boy out there. I tried to do it how I thought. You know, I tried to make a really good story, God. But you've got an even better one. And so, yet again, the worker was like, they're siblings, they're going to be split up because they're very close in age. We don't know what's going to happen. We just need somewhere for him to go. And I was like, well, yes. I mean, I'm grieving over the loss of a pregnancy, and a baby is going to, like, I need something to love on. Yeah. You know? And so that's how Kobe came to our house in the middle of a thunderstorm. I tell him, you blew in the middle of a tornado warning, and you've been blowing through my life ever since. I haven't sat down since. And so Kobe came into our home, and we realized what the weight in the appeal, because we would have been closed up, sealed, done a long time ago. But God had a plan in the waiting for Willa Kate's adoption to go through. And so Kobe came to our home, and that was about 3 years of visits. And
that's a long time.
It's a very long time. You know, again,
3 years of visits with Kobe, or
3 years of visits with social workers and parents and what's going to happen. His case lasted for about 3 years and court and all of those things. And yeah, God just, there were days where we didn't know what was going to happen next again. And God made a way when there didn't seem like there was a way, because we truly felt like Kobe was the missing piece to our family. And so we just prayed and hoped, and
and now all adoptions are final.
All adoptions are final.
Thank you, Lord.
In November.
Literally just in November.
They were final. And our house, we said, it's been a great 10 years, but we're done.
That's a very long, like, I don't think I know anyone else around our age to keep their home open for that long.
And some of it was not by choice, you know, because we were waiting.
Right.
But
foster care can be so.
Yes.
So
tedious.
Hard. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, and just like
emotional roller coaster.
Emotional. Yes. Yes. It is like every day you almost kind of like have to lay down and be like, all right, I don't know what in the world's coming tomorrow. Just so many. And especially when you have multiple cases open at one time. We had two kiddos, and they were both in the same county at the same time of Marks. But yeah, you're dealing with different social workers, different resource workers. All the things,
all the
different
people.
Families,
yes,
different visit times, and so it's a lot. And then you have your own, you know, the other kiddos at home that you're also,
and they're getting older, so they're, you know, seeing this more from my older three, kind of getting to watch that and us being, we're just taking care of Kobe, you know, and then it changed to, well, Kobe might stay, you know, so they're in this time in with us in the process because they're older and they, you know, they understand more. So it was more of a family we were fostering.
What would you say to someone on the fence about fostering?
I can't think of a better depiction of kingdom work.
That's what I always say.
On earth, you're truly loving selflessly, unconditionally, with nothing in return. It's not for the faint of heart. I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, go for it, just see what happens, you know. But if you feel like God is calling you to it, it's very, very rewarding. No matter how it turns out, you know. And there are people that I know that are in it for different, you know, adoption or just being a bridge between, you know, children and reunifying with their parents. But I can't think of a better depiction of the gospel and just pouring your heart out.
What would you say to the people that are in it that are like, yeah, and I don't know how I'm going to make it till tomorrow?
You will. God has a plan. He's a God of details. He loves us. He loves our kids. He will make a way when there's not a way. He's done mighty, 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 mighty things. There's so many little details that we could sit here all day and I could tell about. But you will find a group of people, a group of other foster parents that you can lean on, that you can vent to, that you can cry to. But you will get through it and just keep pressing on. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it feels like the good is not winning. Sometimes it feels like no one is looking out for what's best. But
I just want—we have like 1 minute left in the show, but I'm thinking about that moment when God turned your heart open towards fostering, and it was one night, right? And all of a sudden, this thing was awakening in your heart. Maybe somebody's listening right now and they feel this rush of emotion and it's scary and exciting and you are feeling all the feels. And I just want you to pray and say, Lord, what is your plan for me? And to be open that maybe God is leading you to this. And will you be, like our guest, willing to say, all right, God, I'm open. You take me through the steps, step by step.
That's so good, Kendra. Because, yeah, that's a real feeling. I'm like, I remember at a doctor's appointment one time, I was like, when we left, I went on a walk with a friend. And I was like, I think, I said it through mad tears, but I said, I think God's preparing my heart to love someone else's baby. Mm-hmm. And I just remember coming to that realization, being like, okay, I think I'm going to have to be okay with this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You won't regret it.
Mm-hmm. No.
You won't regret it.
No.
Well, thank you guys. We told you it was going to be a good story. Thank you, Leanna, again for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you back again on Hannah's Heart next week.